If you've never heard of a man by the name of Bill Johnson, you need to hear of him, and I've been reading some of his material and talking about him. Written several books, seen several miracles, many, many, many. Reading last night, Bill writes, in revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit brings an invasion of the presence of the King of Heaven, which displaces the Prince of Darkness. The result of that displacement is that people experience the life and the power of the kingdom. Bodies are healed, souls are delivered and saved, believers grow in unity, and ultimately the society and earth are transformed. True revival not only calls people to pursue God, but to pursue their purpose in history. I like that. And to partner with God in establishing His dominion over all things. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to give us a shot in the arm. He comes to help us run the race to the end and pass the baton to the next generation, with the intent that the kingdom's momentum will increase with each succeeding generation. We don't realize something, that our lives are not just about us. Parents invest their lives in their children. But America has become a fun-seeking nation, so most parents just instill the fun things into their children. They want to be more of a friend than a parent. And we need to, as parents, invest into our children the eternal, the everlasting. We need, as parents, to pass the baton, as Bill said, that they inherit spiritual direction from us. They won't inherit salvation from you. That has to come to them personally from God. But they'll inherit the things that are vitally important to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may not like this. Most of your children will live their lives like you live yours. And if it's all about the fun times, a good time, man, I enjoy having as much fun as anybody in the whole world, but there's deeper things than that. Grandparents, part of that is your responsibility. I found out that when I spoil my brats, that was a wrong word. When I spoil my grandchildren, they become brats. And then they start acting like grandpa. And so the life we live and the life we give and the directions we share must be about Jesus. Look at me for a moment. I know it's easy to look at some other person and say, you're responsible for my children's failure, or you're responsible for my grandchildren's failure, or you're responsible for this or something else. Doesn't work that way. The school was never intended to raise your children. You were. Amen. Babysitters weren't intended to instill values in your children. You pay them to make sure they're safe and they're fed. That's right. And so we have responsibility. And you know something? Look at me. Don't just start hanging your head. It's a great responsibility. It's a good responsibility. It's a fun responsibility. It's an responsibility that I enjoy, because then I can send them back to mom and dad for a while. And so when this hit me, as I was reading last night and looking at things, it hit me deeper than I thought it would. It's a good writing. But there's something in what I read to you this morning that you can chew on. And I'm not preaching on this morning. I just got a short message, so I'm just filling time. But there's meat in that. How many of you have ever thought about your place in history? What about God's history? I want to destroy Finagle's or Murphy's Law that says if you want to know how much you're missed when you die, take a bucket of water and put your hand in there, and the hole that's left when you pull your hand out is how much you'll be missed. I don't want to do that. I want people to remember that he was a man of God, that he desired the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you knew that he was a man of prayer and a man of integrity. I want that left to glorify Jesus. And friends, if that's not your dream or vision, it's not too late to change. Now, some of you women might have a problem remembering that you were a man of God, but I want, and you may think I'm a little hard on churches today or a little hard on some denominations or I'm a little hard on this. I want everyone that comes to this church and everyone that's part of it and everyone listening to the radio broadcast to know that we believe Jesus Christ is God. He's a Son of God, that he's a King, and that we need to make that confession. I don't want any doubt in your minds. I don't want any doubt in the radio's minds of listeners. I don't want any doubt in anybody in this community. I want to know that this church is established on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so go with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read some stuff that I wrote down, and I didn't get it from anybody but the Lord, I believe. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. I want daily in my personal life to have a deeper relation with Jesus Christ. I want revelation, I want knowledge, I want understanding, I want this body to realize that there's no one that owns this church, there's no one that controls this church, there's no one in charge of this church except Jesus Christ. And I am extremely blessed to be able to pastor it. Extremely blessed. Not because I work with Kirk and Marnie. You don't know how true that is. And a wonderful leadership team. Jesus, out of the blue, just out of the blue, because you won't, he's talking about leaven. How many know what leaven is? He's talking about leaven, and all of a sudden he stops talking about the doctrine of the Sadducees and Pharisees, and he comes to a point of asking them a question. Verse number 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he said, "Now, who do you say I am?" Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looks at him, answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." I want to say something before I forget. Please feel free. Please feel free to receive revelation from God and share it with this body. I'm not talking about some mindset that you've had. There is actual revelation coming to the body of Christ from God, and we need to share it. There's personal revelation that I keep to myself, but there's revelation that God informs us how to do things and what to do, or share with somebody, or go to somebody, or call somebody, or do something. Please, don't hinder God from doing what he wants to do. Hello? Same with the gifts of the Spirit. If you have a word, you have a message, you have something to share, don't go home with it. What good is good? Talk to the walls about it. It's amazing what's happening in the lives of people as we walk in the supernatural together, because God is always speaking. Can I tell you something? There were no dark ages in heaven. Come on. Everyone talk about the dark ages and all the sin and all the stuff and the silence and everything. Heaven's never been silent. It will be for a few seconds during the tribulation, the Bible says. I'll come back to that. And I say to you, you are Peter, or little rock, little stone. But on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. I'm going to read a little bit more, and this is some of my writings, and if you don't like it, that's okay. But Jesus comes to the disciples and says, who do men say I am? And right away, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or another prophet comes. The names, and you know, any of us would be happy to associate with any of those people. Amen? Amen. I wouldn't mind having a conversation with John the Baptist. Elijah, Jeremiah. And then Jesus gets personal. As he's getting personal, he looks and said, but who do you say I am? You know, let's not become so casual in coming to church and using the name of Jesus and talking about Jesus and witnessing about Jesus that we forget who he is. I wrote down some stuff and I'm just going to share it with you. Your identification of Jesus will determine how you choose to live your life and where you choose to spend your destiny. It will determine if you come to your life, if you commit your life to him, or just recognize his existence. Jesus Christ is the ever-existent God, creator of the universe, King of kings, and Lord of lords. And he holds all things together by the word of his power. You have never met anyone that compares to Jesus Christ. This world, living in all its denial and all its anger about the religious people, the Christians, has never met anyone like Jesus Christ. To know him and to be considered part of his family is being born again. It's being washed in the blood. It's being cleansed by his precious blood and living and walking in a new life and a relationship with him. And friends, smile. It's a great life. It's a great life. Don't start thinking about dill pickles now. This is wonderful. that God would share His Son, His divine Son. Jesus Christ is deity. He is Lord. He is kings. Remember in John chapter 4 when the woman said, yeah, the Messiah is coming, and Jesus looked at her and said, the one you talk to is He. Who do you say I am? If we are going to adopt a philosophy that He's just a good man, or He was a prophet, or He was just a good teacher, can I tell you something? Don't get shocked by it, because it's not true. But if Jesus is not the Son of God and not divine and not deity, He's a liar. He's not a good man. But He is who He said He was. And He did what He said He did. And He continued doing it. And friends, that is why we can walk in supernatural power and anointing and authority, because the God that we serve and the Jesus that we magnify in this place is totally 100% supernatural, and that's why people don't understand it. And don't want to understand it. Because it's a lot easier to make your God than serve one that was never created. That's always been. Jesus looks at Peter and says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Peter, this revelation came from my heavenly Father. This revelation came from God. As I said earlier, if you can't accept the fact that He is God, ask Him for a revelation. Because I know some people say, well, He's going to build His church on Peter. I believe He's building His church on Peter's confession. Now, you may look that up, and denominations may have problems with that. I believe He's building His church on the confession that He is Jesus, the Son of God. That's why the church of Jesus Christ will never be defeated. It's never going under. I'll tell you what, there are more people being saved in this world today than ever in history. And if the liberal media wasn't concerned about it, why do they keep bringing up the church is nothing, the church is nothing? They're frightened to death. They're afraid that they'll lose their power and their following. They're afraid that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to rise up, and they're just as bad as the Pharisees. They're afraid they're going to lose their authority. Because if you're not afraid of something, you're not going to keep putting it down. Think about it. New York City's in an uproar. New York City is absolutely paranoid because a Christian's coming to town. One Christian in the whole community. His name is Tim Tebow, and they can't handle someone bowing to a God that doesn't exist. Hello. I don't care what you think. Deserves New York right. Serves him. Amen. You can't believe the sports announcer. He can't bring his religion. He's not bringing his religion. He's bringing something deeper than religion. He's bringing Jesus. Yeah. And if you're not a Jet fan, become one. I love green. God bless you, Patrick. Jesus still wears purple. On earth, He did. Your confession. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the eyes of your understanding would be opened, that you would understand and realize and have revelation about Jesus Christ and how God raised Him from the dead and all the power. We don't need a lot of revelation about a lot of things, but we need a lot of revelation about Jesus. And then Jesus says these words. He says, I'm going to build my church. Understand something. Though people have tried to take ownership of denominations and churches and religious institutions and everything else, he's not talking about some denomination. He's not talking about the ELCA, or he's not talking about the Methodists or the Presbyterians or even Christian Outreach Center. He's talking about people. His church is not made with bricks and mortar and stucco and all the, you know, sheetrock and all the stuff that we're going to be looking about. What?
Spray foam.
Spray foam, yeah. There's a difference between the church and the place where the people meet to assemble as the church. He says, I will build my church. Now listen to me. Any denomination, organization, church, religious institution that is not based on Jesus Christ being the final authority and the one in charge is irrelevant. They have no purpose. Forgive me. Any church that declares we're above the Word of God and we're going to change it and we're going to do what we want have not submitted themselves to Jesus, run away from Him. It's true. Churches that are, well, I better stop. I'm not angry with people. And I'm not frustrated with people. I'm frustrated with a liberal theology who says man is more important and God is second place and we'll live like we want and God, you'll do what we want you to do when the time comes of my death and everything's okay. It's a lie from the pit of hell and it's sending people to hell, and denominations that preach that need to experience Christ and they need to be delivered. Yes. They need freedom. And fight for it. Not a vicious, ornery word fight. Fight for it on your knees. If you have family members going to places where they don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He's God and that He rose from the dead, pray for them. Because they're deceived and they're living a lie. He will build His church. It's not an organization He's building. He's building a body of people built on Him as chief cornerstone, and the apostles and the prophets. And we're in that building, rising up, the Bible says, to be a holy temple unto the Father. And friend, you're part of that. You're part of that. It may sound like I'm a little hard today, but friends, if we're going to be dogmatic about something, be dogmatic about this. Mm-hmm. Don't compromise. Paul writes, he says, I don't want anybody deceiving you through vain philosophies and men's wisdom. And I'm going to tell you something. And this sounds terrible, but it's not okay for people to go and choose whatever church they want. They need to pick a church that preaches Jesus Christ as a building and a denomination. You may look at me and say, oh, pastor, that's going to be on the radio? Yeah. Yeah. And you say, why? Because I'm praying every morning that the presence of God floods this place and people get floods this region and people get guidance and directed and come to a place or go to a place, and that pastors that aren't even born again will get born again. Amen. And churches will rise up and people will stand up and say, we want to go back to the teachings of the Word of God. Forget these letters coming from your denominational hierarchy. Let's preach Jesus. And it's time. I will build my church, and no devil, no demon, no opposition, no war, no military leader, no king, no president is going to defeat it. I believe there's coming a change in Washington. It's either going to be a change in the heart of our president or there's going to be a change. And people, we need to be wise and thoughtful enough to pray this thing through so that a man of God will get in there and run this nation under the word of God and under the authority of Jesus. And so what if the media makes fun of him? God will bless this nation again. Pray for a change in the heart of our president. That being Christian is more than word only. But he meets the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's not afraid to stand up and say. Is that wrong to say?
No.
We need a revival from Washington to Wall Street to the farms of South Dakota.
That's right.
We need a revival. We need a move of God. And you know something? God is more willing to do it than we are to accept it. As God's church is built, my friends, it's going to be messy. Mascara is going to run. Leave her alone, Tony. We're ready for a move of God. Now let's take the last verse. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will loose in heaven. You know, I've had people say, well, what do we bind and what do we loose? I want to loose in this realm, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand. He put it in there. True. Thy kingdom come. Not Dwight's kingdom. Not your kingdom. This isn't Dwight's church. This isn't your church. First let it be established in here and let it spread out through this region. Your kingdom, oh God.
Yes.
Pray it every morning. It's not vain repetition unless you don't understand what you're saying, or you're just saying something to be saying something. Pray it. Come your kingdom, be done your will. And watch what God does. There's a stirring here. It's not only in here. There's a stirring in this region. And you know, we can be excited about a stirring, or we can get excited about revival. You can get so excited about a stirring, we quit thinking there's a stirring and forget about praying for it. Let it move from a stirring to revival to an awakening where every single person in this community knows Jesus.
Yes.
Start binding things. Start taking authority over what Satan's doing in our young people.
Amen.
Take authority over the suicides. Take authority over the diseased. Take authority over the drugs. Take authority over all the things that Satan is doing. Let him know he may have had it for a while. It's now time to take it back. For God's kingdom. Now's the time. I don't want to see no more suicides. I don't want to see no more kids killed because they were drunk and in accidents. I don't want to see any more people disappearing. I want to see children submissive to their parents. I want to see parents submissive to God. I want to see our children rising up with the baton saying, Mom and Dad, we're spiritual giants, and I'm going to be bigger in the kingdom of God. Don't worry about your children going beyond where you are. Let them go. Let them go. Let them come to a place where they're walking in the Spirit more than we are, because they got a tougher thing to face than we've ever had. Let them walk in the glory and the anointing of God. Today's the day. Now's the time. I will build my church. The church of Jesus Christ never has been and never will be in danger. Never has been. But I want to see it alive and well in Sisseton. I want to see it alive and well in this region. I want to see the Spirit of God moving throughout our lives, our children's life, the people of South Dakota, and this nation. And we're not alone. Don't ever stop and think that we're just one little group in Sisseton all by ourselves praying for a move of God. There are people all over America, little groups like this, some big groups, praying for God to move. And you know something? There's no little churches or big churches in the eyes of God. It's just His body. So we flow. Don't be satisfied because we saw Larry get healed. How many Larrys are out there? How many Larrys are out there? And as you're doing the ministry, don't be like church. Learn how to smile. I didn't know some of you could. It's a joyous time, friends. It's not a time of despair. It's not a time of sadness. It's not a time of being weighed down. It's a time of expectancy. It's a time of seeing new birth. It's a time of seeing the supernatural in action. In action where? In your life. In my life. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to just wonder what's going on. No. What am I going to do?
Rejoice.
I'm going to rejoice.